I love preaching. I love God's word. How can you not love God's word? Have you been reading this week in God's word? Pretty rough, isn't it? Man, if you've been reading the chronological Bible with us or the chronological Bible online, it's been a rough week of reading, man, because there are a lot of stuff that's been happening in people's lives. And we're going to take a glance at the three men that we talked a little bit about last week. But, you know, it is difficult to draw a modern day analogy about what it meant to be a Christian in the first generation. The first generation, because of the persecution, even had private codes. You ever see that fish symbol? Does anyone know how the fish symbol came about? Most of us just see the fish symbol like, oh, that's so cool, because then they put a little love through it. And then we see evolutionists put feet on it. Come on, guys, you're killing me, you know? But actually, what the early first century Christians did, it was a code that to tell someone else that they were a believer. They would draw that the line of a circle, half of the fish in the sand. And if the other person would come through and then finish the fish, they knew that that person was a believer. That's how it came about. Because of the persecution going on, they had to be quiet about their faith, but they wanted to fellowship and grow together. I mean, Christianity does not look like a cross around our neck. Do you know that? Just because you wear a cross around your neck or a Christian t-shirt or a bumper sticker on your car, and some of you should take those bumper stickers off because you're really lousy drivers. But sorry, I have to say that. If you're speeding, if you go over the speed limit or if you do other nasty things on the road, please take your Christian bumper stickers off. That's a terrible testimony. Did you know that? Just a thought, something to think about here. Bumper stickers don't make you Christians. Crosses don't make you Christians. T-shirts don't make you Christians. Being dressed nice on a Sunday morning, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Dr. David Jeremiah says, you can go to church and you can act like a Christian and still not be one. Oh, isn't that amazing? Just because you read a Bible. God still calls us not to religion or religious activity, but to relationship. That's been God's purpose for every generation, is relationship with Him. God loves people, that He was the first one to reach out to sinners, because why? He became the hunter of humankind. Congratulations to Mike and Mary on their new baby. And what I like about them, they named him Hunter. And a couple weeks I could do their baby dedication, which is awesome. But congratulations, guys. I didn't get to say it last week because of everything going on. But congratulations to you guys. And Mike delivered the baby at home. Yeah. He's the man. Not planned. It wasn't planned that way. So it's not like he's a superhero and just wanted to be the, you know. That was a sudden, not a sudden pregnancy. It was 9 months worth of pregnancy, a sudden birth, 2 weeks early. It's so easy to be religious. When I look at Jeremiah, his name means Yahweh Exalter. When I look at Ezekiel, God makes strong. When I look at Daniel, God my judge. Are you a Yahweh Exalter? Are you a person that God makes strong? Are you a person that recognizes that God as my judge? God is my judge. When I look at the name of those three men, I feel like this is this generation that God wants to be exalted by our lives, by how we live and who we are. When I look at the name Ezekiel, God makes strong. Church, in this generation, more than any other generation, the church needs to make a stand for Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We need to be strong in God. When I am weak, He is strong. We need to stand in His presence and His power with His anointing, with His Holy Spirit in this generation. Right now, church, for such a time as this, God has placed the church to live for Him today, to make a difference, to be His arm extended, not just to each other, but to a lost and dying world. It's not so much about what we do in here, it's what we do out there. God calls us to make a difference in this generation. Why? Because God, my judge. Daniel recognized in the midst of being a captive, that he had to make truth in a lost and dying generation. He had to stand up and stand out for God. When you look at Jeremiah, the Yahweh exalter, it's a first thought here that the words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, this is in Jeremiah chapter 1, it says, then the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and approved of you. I'm reading now the Amplified today. It says, as my chosen instrument, and before you were born, I separated and set you apart, consecrating you, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. Then I said, oh, Lord God, I can't speak. I can't fulfill this mission. Do you feel like that in this generation, that you can't fulfill God's mission with your life? God's call is without repentance. God's call does not change on his church. When he said, go into all the world to those first 11 or the 11 disciples before the day of Pentecost, that call goes to the whole church, not just the preachers. God says, go into all the world. How do we go into all the world? When we support missions, when we pray for missions. Wouldn't we go ourselves, when we live for God, right where we're at? God's call does not change. Jeremiah tried to say, behold, I can't speak. I'm just a kid. I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, say not, I'm only a youth. For you shall go to all to whom I shall send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. What is God telling you to do in this generation? What is God calling us to do? Doug Doors, one of our council members, he was on a trip to Nashville, right? And you were on a bus. And on this bus, you met all different kind of people, didn't you? I mean, it was quite crazy, wasn't it? Wasn't what you expected, was it? But there were people that God loved. And God wanted you to hold forth the word of life. Sometimes it's not what you say. Oftentimes it's how you live. It's how you live. But God will give opportunities. One person said, if you only live but don't speak, you're like a wing with one plane. But oftentimes we speak and don't live. Either way, we're going in circles. But God calls us to fly for his glory, to make a difference. When I look, I feel that Jeremiah of the three had the most difficult ministry. He had the most difficult ministry. You might say, whoa, but Daniel was in captivity. But at least he had food and water. Well, Ezekiel, he was in captivity, but God told him, he listened to the voice of Jeremiah. He even had a house, a wife, and children. He had planted a garden. Yes, their ministries were tough, but Jeremiah was in captivity. He was imprisoned. He was beaten. You look at the infidel Jews of his time, from King Jehoiakim to King Jehoiachin to Gedaliah and all these other guys, they put him in stocks, they beat him, they put him in prison, and then they put him in a cistern where it was just nothing but mud. Yet, he still kept speaking forth the word of God. I don't know if I could do that. I asked myself, Lord, how would I live when I think about, and I hope you're still praying for that pastor who's imprisoned in Iran right now. I've been thinking, it says, pray for those just you, as if you yourself were in prison. I've been thinking a lot about him, thinking, wow, we're coming up on 3 years now that man has been in prison because of the gospel. Pastor Saeed, Lord, help me. The infidel Jews who were not taken captive yet. They were mixing their faith of Yahweh and God with other religions. They were thinking, oh, the Babylonians are stronger, so their gods must be stronger, so we'll worship them also. They preached a very, very watered-down gospel. Watered-down gospel does not make a difference in our generations. Living for God, knowing that God wants to use us in this generation. Church, God calls us to live. I call them the itching ear Christians. 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct and rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, church in this generation, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, and do the work of an evangelist. He was the persecuted prophet. I've already shared that part about how many times he's stocks, imprisoned, water cistern, falsely accused of being a betrayer. Yet, he was a Yahweh exalter. Yet, He stood for God. Yet he preached to God, preached God's word. Yet he said everything that God put in his mouth. Will you do that today? Will you live for God no matter what? I'm asking myself the same question. We need to continue here. Ezekiel, the one God makes strong. Now listen to this. In my 30th year, when he turned 30 years of age, that's when the appointed time when you would have respect, you'd be considered a man or an adult. At that point, he started preaching the gospel, preaching the word that God called him. But we need to understand this, that he had spent 5 years in captivity at this point. In 605, let me give you a time frame just for a moment. In 605 BC was the first siege of Jerusalem by Babylon. In that first siege, they took away everyone that they saw, talent, intelligence, and they thought could benefit their kingdom. That's when Daniel and his three friends and many other young teenagers went into captivity. They say at this time then that Ezekiel would have been 18 years of age. We don't know why Ezekiel wasn't taken, but he wasn't taken into captivity. We don't know why. Maybe he was scrawny. I don't know. But they didn't see value in him. They only took into captivity those who they felt would benefit their kingdom. And 597 BC was the second siege. 8 years later, the second siege of the Babylonian captivity. At this point, they took Ezekiel, they took farmers, they took people that they thought could make their land better. And then in 586 BC was the third and final siege. This was a time when the walls were destroyed, the temple was burned. The rest were taken into captivity, and the city was totally destroyed. At the age of 30, just before 586, which would have been about, I'm not very good at math, I think it'd be 592 BC, is when Ezekiel got the word from the Lord, where he saw the burning of the city. He was at the river Kabar. See, he was a captivity prophet. He was with the common people. The man who proclaimed, I love this. I love this. It's written 72 times in the book of Ezekiel. 72 times. Anyone know what was written 72 times in the book of Ezekiel? Yes, coach? Then they will know that I am the Lord. Then they will know. The word know is written 86 times in the book, but 72 times, then they'll know. And the Amplified, it says, then they'll understand and realize that I am the Lord. Isn't that God's goal? That the preacher, that the church would help people know that he is the Lord, God who loves them and has a plan for them. He wants them to realize and understand God's purpose and plan for their lives. See, he was the visionary prophet. He was the visionary prophet who saw the angel and the glory of the Lord depart from the temple before the temple was destroyed. He saw the walls being burned. It says he gave the message to the nation. And then, later, the herald had come to give him the bad news, give the nation of Israel. Jerusalem is destroyed. The walls are down. The temple's been burned. But he had already spoke forth that word. Why? Even a word of judgment is that you and I, that the world might know. That the world might know that he is God. Isn't that God's purpose and plan for the world and the church today? Is that we would be holding forth the word of life in this generation. God loves sinners. He hates sin. We're not to say, oh, look, sin is good. Sin is never good. But God is always great. And God is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Not a few. But all come to repentance. That's always God's plan. And you and I are his. That's his purpose. And the church is his plan. The last one. Daniel, the God my judge. When you look in Daniel chapter 1, the early years of Daniel, when he was taken into captivity, being the first group. Could you imagine being about 15 years of age? He was 15. Whole life before him. Very talented young man, very intelligent young man, obviously. probably a good-looking young man, him and his three friends and others. They weren't the only four, and they weren't just Jewish people in this group of people. They were people from every nation. They were Egyptians there. They were Assyrians. You name it, they were all in the same place in this captive state and being brainwashed about what they were going to be for now on. Daniel refused to bow down. They even changed their names. Not to good names. Belshazzar was Daniel's name. And it meant one who would worship not God King, but the false gods of the Babylonians. Do you imagine having your name changed to something that in your heart and mind would be a reproach? Yet that's what he was called. That's what he was called by everyone there. They didn't call him Daniel. He just refused to let go of his name. Why? Because his name meant that's a God my judge. He knew God my judge, and with that, he refused to bow down. With that, he refused to eat food that was offered to idols. With that, he refused to be anything, knowing that God was his judge, that he would be the man that God called him to be. He knew the Lord with conviction. I'll just give you these points. He stood up and stood out. He accepted punishment. And he accepted the word of God. In our generation, looking at a life of denying self. How do you look at a life of denying self? These men, Jeremiah, the Yahweh exalter, Ezekiel, the God, my strength, God is strong. Daniel, God my judge. How do we live out to be people who worship and exalt him? How do we live out in the strength that God has called us to live and called us to be? How do we live out knowing that God will judge us? Mark chapter 8, this is the call that Jesus gave to his church, to every disciple. Then he called the crowd, not just the disciples. He called a crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, Mark 8, 34 to 38, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? What does it profit him? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with his holy angels. Looking at a life who comes after God. The word come there means to be in union, to be one with who he is. Come after me, Jesus says. Give up everything else and let me be Lord. Follow me. Looking at a life who picks up the cross means to bear, to lift up, to exalt. What in their generation, they would not be caught with a cross around their neck. A cross was a shameful symbol. Yet today, if we don't see crosses, we think there's something wrong. We're not looking for a cross on a wall. Yes, we have one. We're not looking for a cross on the neck. I'm looking for a person who's bearing a cross saying, Jesus is Lord no matter what. No matter what, I'm picking up my cross. Looking at a life that is daily. The word come after, the word daily, is the exact same word. To be in full identification that Christ is Lord. That I'm daily, that I'm coming after him, that I have chosen to be the person that God has called me in this generation, today. Who do you follow? How do you follow? Do you follow hard after him? Are you a God exalter? Are you one who walks in the strength of God? Are you the one that always recognizes that God is my judge? That I will be the person in this generation that God has called me to be. If it means persecution, then I will still live for him. If it means conflict, then I will still live for him. If it means being exalted, to a good position that I will still live for God. Just because things are good doesn't mean we're doing things right. There are people who are exalted who do things very wrongly. But today, I will not act out religiously. I will not use God's name just because it might get someone to say that I'm good. But I will live for him. I will deny myself, pick up my cross, and I will follow. I will follow. I will not be ashamed of him in this generation. Daniel was not ashamed. Ezekiel was not ashamed. Jeremiah was not ashamed. They were God exalters who walked in God's strength, who knew who their judge was. Today, who are you? Are you an exalter of God? Do you recognize his strength no matter how difficult things may be? Or are you one that always knows that God is my judge, not people, but God? And I stand and I live for him because of who he is.